Hey everybody, welcome back. This is Cold Blue, New York Football Giants Talk with your host. This is T-Rock, aka T-Mac. And on this episode, guys, you know what it's about. All right, the season is almost here. And I believe we have like maybe for the Giants, I'm going to say about 13 days remaining. No, that's 12 days, less than a week and a half. So pretty much 2 weeks. Giants will be hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers at MetLife Stadium, part of a triple header for the new NFL season. That's beautiful, triple header. And I believe the Giants start at 7 p.m., so this will be very interesting to see. And I'm going to go on record to say, y'all, I think the Giants will win this game. You know, the Giants have a talented young roster. This is a very young roster, one of the youngest rosters in the league. And they have a second-year quarterback, his first full season in Daniel Jones. We have a third-year running back in Saquon Barkley. The defense is still question marks. We don't know what the free agents acquisitions are going to give us. And that young secondary is very young. And with the they're going to be missing Xavier McKinney for 10 weeks, as reported. And even though we picked up Logan Ryan from the Tennessee Titans on a one-year deal at $7.5 million, you know, it's good to add a veteran on that depth chart. You know, we got the guy from Carolina that we picked up also. So we add him with Logan's experience. We got two mentors on that back end to teach these young guys how it's to be played in the NFL. Because that's going to be, in my opinion, our Achilles heel. The young corners, you know, they're young. So they're going to have to learn by trial and error. But I believe with two veterans on that field with them, these young guys will pick up, you know, their learning curve will be, you know, better or go faster than normal. So, let me begin with this little tidbit. Okay, we all know that the pandemic has caused all type of changes to all the major league, all sports major, MLB, NBA, NFL, National Hockey League, et cetera, et cetera. But this is my view on this. I've been watching the NBA in the bubble. I can tell you that without fans has still been, as the NBA slogan is, the NBA is fantastic. That has been fantastic, even without fans. Because the level of great players that the NBA has, that's not going to stop the way the game is played. These guys are still competitive. You can see it. It just, without fans, the color commentators, the play-by-play announcers, they still make it fun. And these games have been outstanding, nothing short of outstanding, as if fans were in the center. I mean, it's good to have the fans cheering, booing, you know, booing a bad call by the ref or yelling if it's an exciting play. But this NBA bubble has been very exciting. The competition level, just that alone, the competition has not slacked. It's been nothing short of outstanding. Great play from the NBA. I got to commend them. So, it leaves me with optimism that the NFL can be just that, because the NFL has a ton of great talent on all levels, offense, defense, special teams, and it's great coaching in the NFL. So I'm excited to see what this season will be with our fans in the stadium. Maybe moving forward down the line, you know, we're about to, the summer season is about to be on its way out, and then we're going to be entering the autumn, fall season. Hopefully, keep our fingers crossed, maybe this pandemic will cease fire. You know, I know we got to practice social distancing and safety procedures and protocol. So we'll see how, as the season advances, we'll also be keeping an eye on how this pandemic either stays, maintains, or we shut this down. And hopefully it shuts down where we can go back to normalcy and everything. Because I would love to see, watch from my couch, my Giants playing any team on their schedule. And I would love to see the fans in those big, gigantic stadiums. You know, that's going to look weird. See, the NBA is different. They're inside Orlando with a bubble. That's an indoor arena. Every NBA arena is indoors with a roof. The NFL, you have a select few teams who have dome stadium. Mostly out of all the 32 teams, they have outdoor stadiums. And when you see these games with the teams that don't have domes, that's gonna, you're gonna be looking to the, I'm sure those cameras are going to be doing every angle, and you're gonna see a bunch of empty seats. NFL stadiums are different than NBA arenas, so that's the visionary point right there, where you're gonna be seeing these stadiums that's gonna be empty. Most NFL stadiums can hold anywhere between 60,000, 55,000, up to 75,000 fans. So that's gonna be kind of weird, but like I said, if the competition is good, you'll keep your eyes glued to your TV sets, and until it's officially announced that this pandemic is over, life can go back to normalcy, fans can start traveling to games and sitting in the stands, that'll be a beautiful thing. But till now, we're gonna have to prepare for a different NFL season, unlike none other. But I will say this, I like the way the Giants have been in their scrimmages. Daniel Jones have looked very sharp with his throws. As noted, he's put on about maybe 10 to 15 to 20 pounds of muscle bulk, and he's looking chiseled. I can see in his arms, comparing him from last season to this season, you can tell he bulked up. So he was right there telling me Daniel Jones is ready and prepared for the physical punishment that the NFL, you know, gives quarterbacks. So I can bet he got that from Eli Manning, because Eli Manning lasted for about 15 seasons, 16 years, and had the Iron Man streak before that was unceremoniously interrupted by the Ben McAdoo regime. Was it right or wrong? That's another story altogether, but Eli Manning, best quality, and mostly all quarterbacks, best quality needed from them is to be available. And Manning, Eli definitely was available every Sunday, Monday night, Thursday night, he was available because he took care of his body. So that's what young quarterbacks need to do when they're drafted, to take over for a legend. When we hear this all the time, stand on the sideline and learn from the sideline, get a bird's eye view of what to do, how to be a pro's pro. That's what Daniel Jones got from Eli Manning. That putting on extra muscle, taking care of his body, trust me. I know him and Eli had those conversations. I know that's one thing Eli, as a piece of advice, or to, you know, to drop a piece of jewel, drop a gem on him. He said the best thing you can do is take care of your body. Everything else will fall into place. That's why Eli Manning had the Iron Man streak. So great advice from Eli. I know he gave that to Daniel Jones, and Daniel Jones is taking all the input and words of wisdom that he got from Eli and putting it into action. Now, as far as playing ability, Daniel Jones looks great. He has a new offensive coordinator, Jason Garrett, and him will be married at the hip, as well as Saquon Barkley. Those are our two core players right there. We got DJ, Saquon Barkley. Now, this guy, he's a question mark. He's a part of the homegrown talent also, but Evan Ingram's durability and his health is a question mark at this point early in his career, because of only that he's been on an injury report multiple times. So that's the Achilles heel for any player in the NFL. Injuries, you can be talented, you can be this, but if you have a pattern of injuries, it's going to put a cloud over your career until proven otherwise. So this is, in my opinion, a make it or break it season for Daniel Jones. This is a make it or break it season for Evan Ingram, the tight end, because that tight end is a very important part of our offense. You hear it all the time. Third downs. What's a quarterback's blanket? Safety valve player. The one he goes to get him out of jams. That tight end. If it's 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, you can't get your outside, you can't see, you can't find your receiver on the perimeter. You can't find your guy in the slot. Tight end, Evan Engram is the prototypical new tight end. He was drafted as a tight end slash wide receiver. He has wide receiver speed. He's going to beat most linebackers. He's too big for mostly corners, and he's too big for safeties. You know, so this season is very, very critical for Evan Engram and our offense as a whole. So I'm wishing him well. I'm praying that his health is good for the whole season, as well as everybody on the Giants staff, for that matter. But I believe in Evan Engram. He has a lot of talent, and we can put this thing together. And this is going to lead me to this question. Can the Giants make the playoffs this season? And I'm going to say, yes. The reason they can make the playoffs, guys, ladies and gentlemen, who's afraid of the Cowboys and Eagles? We already know where that Washington team stands at. 3-13, they finished at the bottom of the basement, only one win less than we did. Giants, I'm not going to toot our horn, we only won 4 games last year out of 16 games. That's terrible. We split home and road games, 2-6 on the road, 2-6 at home. We got to improve. We have to improve. No question about it. But the Eagles scraped to 9-7. I mean, I'm not going to put anything past Carson Wentz. He's, my opinion, he's the quarterback. All this brouhaha over Dak Prescott's ability. Yeah, Dak is a very good quarterback. Young in his career still, but that quarterback to watch in this division is Carson Wentz. When healthy, if Carson Wentz is healthy, the Eagles are dangerous. He's that talented. But the Eagles put together 9-7 wins, and that was solely on the right arm of Carson Wentz. I mean, he had nobody to throw to. If you watch the games, you always do the eyeball test. Who was Carson Wentz throwing to? He willed that team to the playoffs. He was throwing to his tight end on every down and to a running back. He had no wide receivers. Defensive coordinators knew this. And Carson Wentz, with that talent and that right arm, like I said, if he's healthy, Carson Wentz is the clear-cut best quarterback in the NFC East. And I'm saying that because Daniel Jones is only entering his second year. You have to put a pattern of work. You have to put a long stretch of work on your resume for me to say DJ is the best quarterback. And I'm not going to say that just because I'm a Giants fan. I'm not going to play homer. I'm not a homer there. I'm realistic. Out of these 4 teams, out of the Giants, Cowboys, Eagles, and Redskins, the best quarterback in this division in the NFC East right now, when he's fully healthy at full speed, and if he has a plethora of weapons, which he does now, he has better weapons this season than he had in the last several seasons, is Carson Wentz. Now, Daniel Jones can take that leap this year and play outstanding, consistent football. Limit those turnovers he had last season. Put more W's up on our schedule. Play in big moments. Play in big moments with lesser talent. Then that narrative will change. But right now, in Carson Wentz's young career, I think he was drafted in the 2016 or 17 season, along with Jared Goff, who plays for the Rams. They came in together as the number 1-2. First round selections. Carson Wentz is a bad man. Again, when he's healthy. But Daniel Jones has a clear opportunity to overtake that narrative if he can show otherwise, if he can play consistent. He has a new OC. So we got to see. We got to give Daniel Jones this full season and maybe next season for him and Garrett to get that chemistry together. He has to know what he likes from Garrett and vice versa. So the Giants can make the playoffs. And also, consider this, guys, folks. There's a new playoff format. They're allowing 2 extra teams to qualify for the postseason. So instead of 6 teams from each conference, it'll be now 7 teams from each conference. So why not the Giants? Big Blue can sneak in. They may can win the division outright. They may sneak in as a 9-7 team. Who knows? But I think the Giants stand a chance because the Cowboys or Eagles are not terrifying teams. Look what the Cowboys did with all that supposedly talent that they had last year. The Cowboys had all that talent and finished 8-8. They underachieved. Now, with the addition of Mike McCarthy, I don't know how that's going to work out. Will Jerry Jones learn from years past and just let the head coach he hires coach, manage the team, let them take the heat when they lose, and let them take the praise when they win at press conference? We don't need to see Jerry Jones at every press conference, at every post-game interview. Let the coaches do that, Jerry. But that may be their doing in if Jerry sticks his nose into Mike McCarthy's business. Because Mike McCarthy is not Jason Garrett. He's going to say something. So, to Jerry Jones. He's not going to back down. He didn't back down in Green Bay. That's why he lost his job. Mike McCarthy is a very good head coach. So, but the Cowboys, they're learning on the Cowboys are in the same boat as the Giants. They're learning a whole new system under a new head coach. Albeit, Mike McCarthy is not a rookie, as is Joe Judge. But the Cowboys are learning a whole new system, so nobody's afraid of the Cowboys or Eagles. You know, they didn't run away with that division. As a matter of fact, the Giants were in so many close games until the end of the season, spiraling out of control, they had a chance. If they could have won a few more games here or there in the midseason, that's what the Giants got to do this year. The Giants got to get out to a fast start. Win home games that you should win. Win those games that you're supposed to win. And then take care of September. I mean, split between, if you want to split games in October, but you got to take care of September and get off to a fast start. Don't lose as many in October. And then when November, December come, seal the deal. You got to win those games. That's what it takes to get the postseason. You got to usually get off to a nice fast start in September, or either you're going to have to finish off strong in the months of November, December. That's it. Start fast, finish out, or if you start off slow, you got to make a strong push in the last 2 months. And the Giants got the talent to do that. So, yeah, I think the Giants can be one of those playoff seeds, make the brackets this season. We'll see, though. We'll see. It will be contingent on the play of our quarterback and our running back. The defense, like I said, that's up in the air. I don't know what to make of this defense. We don't have a premier star pass rusher or rushers. I don't know what type of schemes the defensive coordinator is going to use. And, you know, we'll have to see. Pretty much, I think the Giants are going to have to score a lot of points. And that's not a bad thing, because the NFL is becoming the NBA. Spacing, nobody's playing defense in the NBA. They're about points. And the NFL has kind of made that the same way, with the lack of what the defenders can do now in this new era of the NFL. This is not your grandfather's NFL back in the 80s, back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and even the early 90s. This new NFL is about bombs away. They want the league, they want to see more scoring. A lot of Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens and the Rams from a couple of years ago. But you can't handcuff defensive players either. Like, come on with the ticky-tack calls. Like, this is what I don't like about the NFL on defensive. Bad calls on the defenders. When a pass rusher is engaged with his man on the offensive line, and he's doing everything in his power to swim, rip, bowl us, and then when he gets close to that quarterback, a pass rusher doesn't have to necessarily sack the quarterback to disrupt a play. Most defenders, when they know they can't actually grab the quarterback, they're putting their hands up in the quarterback's field of his vision and his passing lanes. Get him out that spot. And most times, those hands come down inadvertently over the quarterback's helmet. That should not be a help. That should not be a penalty on a defender. Illegal hit to the head. They got to get rid of that. Quarterbacks wear helmets, shoulder pads, equipment too, just like any other position player. They're not fragile. You know, I know we got a few short quarterbacks under the prototypical size, a la Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Drew Brees, got a few more out there, but most quarterbacks in this league are big. Even Russell Wilson, with his short stature and height, he's like a little bowling ball. He's strong. But you get to the Big Bens, you know, the Carson Wentz, the Jared Goffs, the Josh Allen's Buffalo Bill. You got guys that's big. These quarterbacks are typically 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", weighing about 215 or 225. That's not a small dude. Stop it with these calls to help the offense. And that goes for my Giants, too. If Daniel Jones get hit in the head, he shouldn't be crying to the ref about a flag. They need to toss that rule out. Illegal hit to the head. That ain't giving nobody no concussion. A defender's arm inadvertently tapping a quarterback's head. Come on. Give me a break. They need to get rid of that. Now, clearly, when a defender is using his helmet to spear another player in the helmet, yeah, that's a flag. You don't want nobody getting a concussion. We all know about the CTE. I'm all on board with that. Flag them. You know, if they're doing that and just doing it out of the rules of the with, if it's not within the rules, yeah, you get flagged. But I've seen this happen with Tom Brady so many times, man. Come on, bro. A pass rusher or a safety blitz, they inadvertently tap him on his helmet. I mean, with two fingers, and the flag is coming out these refs' pocket. Come on, stop that. Don't treat these quarterbacks with that much. That's too much. And they know this. I know you want to protect the prize, unquote, quote unquote. That's the player everybody wants to see. You don't want him injured, but come on, man, stop. That boils my blood. Like, these guys are not fragile. Like I said, you look at Tom Brady's height, weight. Come on. Two fingers of a helmet, if a hand hits him on the head, he's fine. Now, if a guy just came and speared him, boom, with the momentum of his weight, if a defensive back came or a linebacker came and just used their helmet to spear another quarterback in the head, yeah, that's a flag. But not when nobody's just trying to get around a defender and knock the ball out of his hand, a quarterback's hand, and they inadvertently swipe and miss and hit the player on the head. That's not a flag, man. That's not a flag to be pulling for not a 15-yard. That's ridiculous. That's what makes the NFL corny. Defensive plays are just as gorgeous as offensive plays. When a linebacker or edge rusher gets behind, gets around that corner and sacks the quarterback, knocks the ball loose, scoop sack, scoop fumble, that's gorgeous. That's gorgeous too. Fans want to see more defensive players be able to make plays too. They put too much on the offense, which limits the defensive players from getting their shine. And that's not fair. The NFL will have to go back to the drawing board on that. When they go back to these winter meetings, that needs to be discussed, in my opinion. Eliminate that hit to the head. Look at, review that play and determine, was that malice done with malicious intent? Or was it with just an inadvertent hit? I'm telling you, that will change a lot of these teams going from 3rd and 8 to a 1st down because of a flag. It's BS. They need to cut that out. All right, but on to more pressing news. Like I said, the NFL season is almost here. And with that said, with all the social unjust, the protesting this summer, you know, marching for social, you know, for social change, reform, this, that, yada, yada, we have another black man shot in the back 7 times by Wisconsin cops. If I stand corrected, I've been in Neosho, Wisconsin. After all this stuff has been going on this past summer, through this pandemic, these cops still don't understand. They just don't. Either they don't understand or they just don't care. That's my thing. Come on, man. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, how long is this going to be keep going on? people of color being just unfairly treated by the police department, unfairly. Because if that was a white man walking to get into his car, you wouldn't even see no guns come out. That's just how it is. You can say what you want, but that's my world and how I see it, and that's how everybody sees also. Good white people who have common sense and good eyes will even tell you that. The ones that are privileged would even tell you that. So why would you not treat another human being the same way? That black man was just going in his car. You can't say because he's black, oh, he's going in his car to reach for a weapon. He had his children in the car. I mean, I'm sure these cops saw that. And there's always several cops on the scene. So I'm sure when they're looking at this black man's vehicle, they're also looking to see if he has any type of other people in the vehicle with him that can pose a threat to them. So I'm sure they saw those children. No father's going to put their children in harm's way when there's a bunch of white police officers around, knowing that he's potentially a target to be shot, and that those cops' bullets can also probably hit one of his kids. So that made no sense to me. You guys got to look at it for like it is. This is what it is, man. This is assassinate black men times. That's what these cops do, man. These white cops are trained to kill black men. And we can have another discussion on that. I know I went a little off topic, but it happened during this pandemic time and during the sports world. When you see stuff like happen, all players from all the sports leagues, they get on social media and, you know, they express their concerns and dislikes and their frustration. So I'm going to speak on it on my podcast also. This has to stop, man. This has to stop. Black men are human beings, as well as white men, Chinese men, Russian men, any other color. We're human. Give us the same rights as the Constitution says we're supposed to have. You know, this is ridiculous. Man may never walk again. Shoots this man in the back 7 times. Unbelievable. 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 All right, guys. Sorry about that little emotional outburst, but it bothers me. You know, it bothers me. I don't want to see anybody treated like that. But the sad fact is not being done to any other race. It's being done to black men. Maybe it's being done and not recorded to a white man somewhere in another state or a Chinese man, but you don't see these things high profile on the news. It's always done with a black man. I mean, and I'm only speaking upon black men. If you look at this video, these videos, these black men are not posing any threat, no weapons on them. You know, we're being killed with our hands up, you know, being choked out. It's just ridiculous. It's just not a good look. It's not a good look in humanity, man. This world is just full with a lot of hate and evil. Until we eliminate that hatred, it's not going to be a good planet or world to live on. You know, we can only watch sports for 3 hours a day. The NFL season gives us 3 hours to celebrate the teams that we love. And then after that, you got to go back to reality. You know, black men got to deal with the reality. You know, when we're driving in our cars, now we got to think about, are we going too fast? We see a car, a cop's headlights in the rear view. Anxiety comes over us. You know? Do I have to slow down? You know, a lot of things go through our heads. We gotta talk to our young children on the do's and don'ts, how to speak to an officer. And back in the days, police relations with the community was a little more better. You can see a cop outside and come and converse with them. Now, you just have the trust factor, connection with police officers in the black community is not there, and it's not going to be back to that way until police are trained right. They got to train the way police are trained. You know, everybody can wake up and have a bad day, but cops can't wake up and say they had a bad day and then target a black man and shoot him for no reason. Because black men wake up with bad days, I'm sure we do. We have our own problems. Work-related, home-related, personal. We don't wake up and just say, you know what, when I see a white cop, I'm going to shoot him because I'm having a bad day. And no, it don't work like that. See, if we do that, it's over. Oh, we killed the cop. But when a white cop shoots a black man, you really see it's no arrest made. It's always somebody, oh, we got to investigate this and see what the facts. No, it's no facts. Lock them up. These cops should be held accountable the same way if it was in reversed. No, you're fired, you're going to jail. End of story. That's how it should be. Cops are taking men from their families, from their mothers, from their sisters and brothers and nephews and nieces. This judicial system is hypocritical. And I'm going to just leave it on that note. And like I said, I know I'm off topic, but this has to be said. I will, and these are my thoughts. I told you on my podcast, I'm going to share my thoughts and opinions. Not just on football and on my New York Giants, but on anything that's in the immediate on the horizon will be touched upon. If I'm feeling a certain way, and this, you know, has to be said. And I'm going to share my thoughts. Like everybody has the, you know, the freedom of speech to do so without hurting nobody. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm a black man in this world, and it could be me. It could be anybody. Money does not protect you. It does not when you're black. I mean, you can be at the plateau of success. If you're black, we're just targets, and it has to stop. But on that note, I'm looking forward to the upcoming NFL season. My New York Giants are to kick off their first game of the season, September 14th, versus the Pittsburgh Steelers, another glorified, storied franchise. That will be no easy task, but I think the Giants can pull us off. You know, Big Ben is coming back from a serious elbow injury. Not sure how his play will be. But yeah, I definitely know Big Ben is a gamer, you know. He's from that 2004 draft class with Eli and Phillip Rivers. And Big Ben and Phillip are still playing. Eli has elected to retire from his illustrious career. I wish Eli nothing but the best in his post-football career. Like I said, Big Ben is a gamer. And he's one of the most improvisational quarterbacks. So this is where my concerns are going to come in with that young New York Giants secondary. Because Big Ben has a big arm and can, if that elbow is right, or although he doesn't have AB anymore to throw to, he still has some receivers out there and get that ball to. But that's another thing the Giants need to take advantage of. Antonio Brown is no longer in that Steelers roster. You got Juju and company. Juju is an upcoming receiver, but he's no AB at this point in his career. If we can limit Pittsburgh on them third downs, that'll put us in pure position to keep that game close and just score fast. The Giants can get up early on Pittsburgh, get that momentum, get that confidence going. We stand a pretty good chance to start the season 1-0. That's what the Giants need to look at. If Joe just said he's there to change the culture, the Giants got to start winning. They haven't been doing so since the last several seasons. They've been starting off 0-2, 0-3. Y'all know the history. Even when Tom Coughlin's last few years there, the Giants were 0-6 twice under Eli. You know, bad losing streaks. So the Giants got to buy into this. But for the players to buy into Joe Judge has to be consistent across the board. You know, I know we've heard from his practices, he's been having coaches and players run laps for making errors. It better turn into W's or the players will revolt, especially these, you know, veterans or give them time. But the young players will only buy in what the veterans buy into. It's easy for veterans to get those young bucks under the wing and say, come on, man, this is what you got to do, as long as they're winning. Even if they'll lose it, it's the way they got to lose. It's the way they lose. If they're losing and they're competitive and they're in them games, but they made good plays, the confidence will be there. They'll go back to the next game knowing that, yeah, we can play against anybody. But if they're getting blown out like, I mean, blown out, and players are looking like, wow, what are we doing here? This scheme is not working. You're not putting us in the right position to compete. That's when everything is going to fall into chaos. So hopefully Joe Judge and his coaching staff has a good plan in place, and the Giants change their culture, because that was his big words in his press conference. He wants to change the culture. And the Giants got to start winning fast. The Giants need to start changing how they play. They got to play aggressive, punch you in the face for 60 minutes, as Joe just stated in his press conference when he got hired. You know, play like a team that New York can that'll be happy to root for. Hard working, bring your lunch and your hard hat with you, and play Giant smash mouth football, guys. And on that note, like I said, that'll be it for today, guys, on my podcast. Just a quick review of what's going on in the world with the Giants in the upcoming season. My thoughts, the Giants will make the playoffs this year, but we have to wait and see what happens in the first month of September. That'll be a barometer of how the Giants will do. The Giants can get off to a fast start. They stand a great chance. Like I said, nobody's fearing the Cowboys or Eagles, and we already know what Washington. Washington's still a young team. New head coach over there in that regime. Washington's still undergoing a name change with their organization. So only two teams the Giants have to really be aware of right now is Philadelphia and the Cowboys. The Eagles and the Cowboys. And the Giants, like I said, get a few early wins in September. Get that confidence. Surprise some teams. Daniel Jones takes that leap. Shows that he was the right choice pick at number 6 in their first round 2 seasons ago. We already know what Saquon is going to give you. He's a dangerous back out of the backfield in the passing game. Our only concerns is we know we have Saquon, we have Sterling Shepard, we have Evan Ingram if he can stay healthy. We got Golden Tate. You know, we got who's my guy, man, that played outstanding last year? Number 86. Sorry about that, man. I gotta come better. I gotta get my names right. But the rookie wide receiver who went undrafted, played outstanding last year. And we got talent. I'll get the name right. Sorry, guys. I'll get his name right. Trust me, next episode. I see his face. Slayton. Slayton played outstanding last year. So the only real concern, if the Giants on that defensive side of the ball can put it together, if somebody can step out of that defense, Lorenzo Carter, B.J. Hill, Davin Thomason, you know, I already know what the Giants are capable of on offense. Andrew Thomas going to be on the left side, being that Nate Sutter opted out. So we got the rookie from Georgia coming in to protect Daniel Jones' blind side. I know, not worried about it. My concern is that defense. If that defense, somebody can step out of that lineup and just become not even a superstar, but just a admirable player, a consistent player that they can cause plays and just make an impact, we'll be good. We just need two players. We need somebody from the defensive line to step up, and maybe one or two players from that secondary, because McKinney was pegged as a starter. We need a center fielder. Need somebody in that safety spot that can man that middle center of the field. And we got to have guys on the perimeter that can match up well with these outside receivers. You know, because our schedule is tough this year. We're going to get, I think we're going up against, if I'm not mistaken, up against the NFC South. Mr. Julio Jones and company, the whole division is stacked with receivers. So the Giants are going to need somebody in that secondary to step and, you know, follow those number one, those wide receiver ones. And then if we can find somebody to replace McKinney, that could be a suitable replacement. And man, I like the pickup from Rogan Lyon. I like that pickup. I like it. We got Bradbury from Carolina. Got two veteran mainstays that have been playing a lot of years in this league. They know what they're doing. Bring those young bucks along, and that secondary, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. Trust me. Daniel Jones, from what I saw last year, I know he has to cut down on the turnovers, but the physical tools are there. And he has a nice live arm. His throws, his tight spirals, and he made some throws under duress
in traffic where they were just on the money. So that's a good sign. His accuracy is better than what it was advertised coming out of Duke. I like it. And he has the makings. He has the work ethic that he's a quarterback that's going to be the first one in, last one out, and that he immerses himself in his playbook. So when you combine that with a great running back already at your side and some and the Pedora wideouts that we got a mix of old and young wideouts. That's great for Daniel Jones. You got Golden Tate. He's the veteran. You got Shep, the oldest tenured wideout on the Giants staff. And then you got Slayton, Evan Ingram, and whoever's going to be filling in, you know, for wide receiver depth, substitute. Daniel Jones has everything at his disposal. The one thing, he just has to get that chemistry. He has to get the feel of that playbook with him and Jason Garrett. So on that note, once that clicks, watch out for Big Blue. We're going to be back. Okay, guys, until the next episode, I hope everybody will stay well, be safe out there, protect yourselves, practice social distancing. Until next time, peace.